You are Locked On Hawks, your daily Atlanta Hawks podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Hello, friends. Welcome to episode 488 of the Locked On Hawks podcast. I am your host, Brad Rowland. It is officially Sunday. It's deep into the night here, and Sunday morning, here we are to talk about what actually transpired on Saturday night between the Hawks and the Denver Nuggets. A very interesting game in a lot of ways. Of course, next door, Atlanta United was busy winning the MLS Cup, and the city was definitely gathered behind that particular effort, so shouts to them. But a nice Hawks win on Saturday night, honestly. And as a result of that, there's plenty to talk about here. I know a lot of people that are still Hawks fans, but probably missed this game because they were either in Mercedes-Benz Stadium or watching that game closely. I can't have any blame for you there, considering that was a much bigger game. In fact, John Collins even kind of acknowledged that after the game, like, you know, he kind of gave his congratulations to Atlanta United and acknowledged it was kind of a bigger deal in the city, obviously. Kind of goes without saying. We're talking about playing for a cup versus a regular season game in December, but still in a very nice win from the Hawks in this spot on Saturday night. In fact, Atlanta was pretty shorthanded in this game. Only had 11 available players, including, and that actually included Jalen Adams. Daniel Hamilton was actually sent to Erie earlier this week, and as a result of that, plus injuries, the Hawks were down to 11 guys here and really played a pretty short rotation in this spot, which we'll talk about a little bit later on the podcast. To be fair, Denver was coming in, also playing very shorthanded in their own right. Paul Millsap, old friend, was ruled out for this game because he actually got injured on Friday night. And the Nuggets were playing the second game of a back-to-back set. The Hawks opened as about 8-point underdogs, 7.5 point, somewhere between 7.5 and 8. This game closed about 5.5, so there was a lot of sentiment on some of the injury stuff and the fact that Denver was playing shorthanded, etc. They were still favored to win, but the Hawks had lost 4 in a row coming into the game and played very well here. Also, it should be noted that Denver lost, well, didn't really lose, it's kind of had a banged-up Jamal Murray in the second half of this game. They were really, really shorthanded. The Nuggets only played 8 guys total in this game, and it was very clear that they sort of ran out of gas in the second half, but still the Hawks took advantage of that and a pretty nice win here from Atlanta. So as we always do, we'll sort of go down what transpired during the game and then break down some individual stuff later on in the podcast. But we'll start at the top here. In the early going, I thought it was interesting that the Hawks had Trae Young guarding Jamal Murray on defense, but actually he was being guarded by Torrey Craig, who's a little bit bigger, kind of wing-sized player for the Nuggets, and the Nuggets had Murray on Kevin Huerter. There was one spot early in the game where I thought Nikola Jokic, who was fantastic in this game, kind of targeted Trae Young, got him singled up on Torrey Craig, lobbed a pass into the post for an easy three-point play, and defensively, Trae had some moments in this game, as we'll talk about, as we almost always talk about here. Also, Young had his first three shots blocked, really actually had it, had 5 shots blocked in the first half, which was kind of jarring. Even Lloyd Pierce mentioned that after the game. Kind of some those don't really count as turnovers, but they kind of feel like turnovers when you have a shot blocked at the rim like that. And Trae had a pretty rough first half with some of that stuff, getting shots blocked. There was 1 2-for-1 on a fast break in the first quarter where he just used the wrong hand. Kind of probably should have passed it, honestly, if he didn't pass it. He should have shot the ball with his other hand, but tried to get too creative, got blocked, and that was kind of a rough start for Trae along those lines. As I mentioned before, Jalen Adams had not played in a while. In fact, he had not played an NBA game since October 30th. He's been in Erie for a long time now, but he came in with about 7 minutes to go in the first quarter. Actually, the Hawks went to a full second unit at that point in time. That was really Adams' only stint of the game, which is worth pointing out. But the Hawks had their entire backup unit on the floor together in that first quarter. Adams gave them some, you know, competent minutes, not a ton of that, but never came back to him in the second half. It was all DeAndre Bembry as the backup point guard, and not a huge surprise there, but Adams didn't get killed or anything like that in his one stint of the game. Early on, it was the Nikola Jokic show. Honestly, at 15 points in the first 8.5 minutes, was kind of doing whatever he wanted to do. The Nuggets came out on sort of like gangbusters. They led by 15 points at one point in the first quarter. And at that point, it kind of looked pretty dismal for Atlanta. I will say there was at least in the back of my mind thinking of the fact that Denver was probably going to run out of gas to some extent. That definitely happened. But the first quarter, I'd be lying to you if I told you that the Hawks were supposed to win this game down 15 in the first quarter. But they battled back from there, as you can certainly see here. Rest of the first quarter stuff, Bembry I thought was great, and actually he played great in this entire game, especially in the first quarter. Was basically just flying around, had a nice sky hook that he made, which is kind of a crazy shot from him. Also, Tyler Dorsey played very well in the first quarter. He had 7 points in a row, not in a row, but in quick succession. Had a nice hesitation move that I actually talked about in the recap of this game on PeacherHoops.com. But there was a really sort of a beautiful play from him above the break, and it looks like he's playing with confidence with the ball in his hands right now. The Nuggets, though, were great offensively in the first quarter. They had a 57% from the floor and a 134 offensive rating in the first quarter. That was fantastic from them. The Hawks kind of struggled overall, although they did have 9 assists, which was definitely a theme in this game, was Atlanta's passing. We'll come back to that a little bit later, but that was sort of the saving grace of the first quarter. But the Hawks were down by 10, and it looked kind of dismal at that point in time. The second quarter, though, things sort of turned up a little bit for Atlanta. There was an 11-4 run early in the second quarter that was capped by Kent Bazemore 3 to get back within 6. Jamal Murray had to go to the locker room briefly. He did come back, but it wasn't like he was 100% by any means. He was definitely visibly shaken after that and didn't play much for the Nuggets after the first quarter and a half or so. The Hawks had 19 assists in the first half on 21 field goals, which is kind of crazy to see. That's a really crazy ratio. Only two turnovers as well before halftime. The passing was really good all night long for Atlanta. John Collins had a great first half, 16 points, 5 rebounds, and 4 assists before halftime. The Hawks just still weren't making shots in the first half, though. They shot 40% from the floor and 26% from 3 in the first half. That did, you know, increase as the game went on, especially in the 3-point shooting contest. But you know, it was one of those things where the passing was good, just had to make shots that ended up coming in the third quarter, though. But the second quarter was huge. I think the third quarter will get all the headlines, and rightfully so, considering the way that Atlanta played offensively in the third quarter. But the second quarter was really nice in the fact that the Hawks played defense in a big way for the first time in this spot. They held the Nuggets to 8 of 23 shooting. They were 1 of 10 from 3 in the quarter, and that was kind of the biggest swing in terms of just stabilizing the game and having Atlanta kind of chip away a little bit at the lead. They went into halftime down only 5. That was much more manageable than you would have thought. And considering the fact that Murray was battling injury, it kind of felt good. I actually tweeted about this at halftime. If you told me that the Hawks were down by 5 at the half against a pretty shorthanded team at home, you kind of feel good about that. And it played into their hands beautifully, I thought, in the third quarter. There was a nice sequence at the top of the third quarter from Trae Young, actually. Playing good defense and a nice defensive block shot in that early in the third quarter actually came down and then knocked down a wide open catch and shoot rhythm 3-pointer from the right wing. This was nice to see him. That was his it was his only 3-point make of the game, but it was a really good shot. Good a nice sequence from him. Good to see him sort of contributing in that way without having to dominate the ball as he often does. There was a 17-8 run from the Hawks to open the second half. It took a 4-point lead, and from there it was all Hawks. They led the entire rest of the way. There was a nice confident, super confident, I thought, corner 3-pointer from John Collins that ended up going through. Two massive Vince Carter threes in the middle of that run from Atlanta. He had another one later, but actually that was sort of a huge shot from Carter. He had 3 threes in the third, and his last one was to go up by 10 points after a great kickout pass by DeAndre Bembry and a nice smart touch pass from Tyler Dorsey to give it to Vince, who was red hot at that point in time, knocked it down, and that was the end of that as the run sort of peaked there at 10. They got us to 12 later on in the third quarter. Actually, there was an interesting spot where Dorsey was actually livid about an offensive foul call that actually was the wrong call on replay, but I want to at least point that out. But the Hawks got it up to 12 at one point there. Vince had a nice putback dunk at the end of the quarter to put the Hawks up by 9 after the Nuggets sort of chipped away a little bit. That was a huge momentum swing. And in the second and third quarters combined, the Nuggets shot 33% from the floor. That was a lot of them not executing, but also the Hawks playing better defense in that sequence. And in the third quarter alone, the Hawks shot 59% from the floor and 8 of 12. Yes, 8 of 12 from 3 from Atlanta in the third quarter. And 35-21 was the result there, and that was by far the biggest result of the game of the entire game was the third quarter, just the swing there. The Nuggets couldn't make shots. The Hawks made all the shots, and that was huge. But to open up the fourth quarter, it was another big spot in the game when Atlanta scored the first 8 points of the fourth quarter to go up by 17. From that point forward, they were in total control. I will say there was one sticky moment in the middle of the fourth quarter. I guess with about 4 minutes to go, they gave up back-to-back turnovers that led to dunks from Malik Beasley and Mason Plumlee. And suddenly the lead was 10. There was a timeout there. It was a little bit uncomfortable, I will say, with 4 minutes to go or so. But Atlanta got some key stops after that. Dwayne Debbin made 2 free throws to go up by 12 with about 3 minutes to go. And then a dagger corner 3 from John Collins to sort of seal the game as it was. After that, the only real point of contention was a flagrant 2 foul assessed to John Collins with 2.6 seconds to go. He had a hard foul on Malik Beasley. Lloyd Pierce and John Collins both kind of expressed their disagreement with that call. Pierce was much more direct in the way that he said it. After the game, he called it the wrong call, flat out. I believe he said it was a bad call, one of those two. But it was very interesting sequence. I didn't think, even watching the replay, that it was malicious or anything like that. Collins did say that it wasn't intentional. I wouldn't have been surprised if it was a flagrant 1. I didn't really understand the flagrant 2 call there. And I think if I was projecting, I would imagine the Hawks kind of get that rescinded, I believe, with Collins. But he did get tossed technically with 2.6 seconds to go. It didn't matter for the result, but that was sort of the only thing that happened in the last couple minutes that was really worth discussing at length. But, you know, overall, it was a really good game from the Hawks. Obviously, that's pretty clear to see. The first quarter was kind of what it was, but after that, they outscored the Nuggets by 18 points, and that's very, very impressive over a three-quarter sample against a good team. Again, it is worth pointing out, again, and I will say it one more time here, that the Nuggets were playing shorthanded. They only had eight guys that were really sort of rotation playable in this game, and I think they ran out of gas. I mean, some of that is credit to Atlanta, but Denver definitely had a schedule loss here in a lot of ways, and especially with the injury to Murray, they were really banged up and seemed like they didn't have much left in the tank for a big comeback late on, but the Hawks did take advantage of that, and credit to them for doing so. A pretty ugly offensive game on both ends of the floor here. The Hawks actually finished with a 99 offensive rating, even in a game that they scored 106 points. That was because the pace was pretty fast in this game, but the shooting was nice for Atlanta, but outside of the third quarter, it was kind of still dismal. They still managed to shoot 15 of 42 from three, which is actually pretty solid for an NBA team, 36%. But you know, aside from that red hot third quarter, wasn't too much going on there, and 43% from the field. I will say though, the passing was beautiful from Atlanta in this game. 33 assists, I should say, on 40 field goals. That was something that a lot of guys, including Lloyd Pierce, praised after the game. They want to see that. And it wasn't all Trae Young either. Like, you know, for instance, there have been a few games this year when the Hawks have had 30-plus assists and Trae will have, you know, 12, 15. And this game, it was really balanced. Every single guy in the starting five had 4-plus assists. Bazemore led the way with 8, but they had 5 from Bembry. So they had 6 guys. 6 guys with 4-plus assists in one game is pretty outstanding. You don't see that very often. And it was a pretty unselfish game from across the board for Atlanta. And the offense, while it wasn't great, did enough to get a win in this spot. Defensively, I think the numbers are definitely aided by Denver sort of running out of gas, as mentioned before. But a 92 defensive rating is excellent, and the Hawks can sort of bank on that moving forward here. The Nuggets shot 37% from the floor and 25% from three in the game, which is crazy considering they shot like 59% in the first quarter. So after that, it was really ugly from Denver. And again, some of that is them, but some of that's also Atlanta's defense was playing quite well over the last three quarters of the game. So as we always do here, we'll come back with the individual stuff in this game. I do want to take a moment to tell you guys about the Locked On Podcast Network, of which this is podcast is a member of. There's a podcast for every single NBA team, every single NFL team, a lot of colleges, a lot of MLB teams, also national shows, Locked On NBA, Locked On NFL, Locked On Fantasy Basketball, all kinds of different stuff. And if you have not checked out the network, go ahead and do that as well as subscribing to this podcast. That would be huge for me, and I really, really appreciate that. So after this quick break, we'll come back and talk about the individual stuff in this game. All right, we're back to talk about the individual play in this game and a couple of career highs that we'll leave with here. We'll actually start in the starting lineup in this game. John Collins was the story of the night, I thought, really on either side of the floor, but Collins had 30 points, 12 rebounds, 5 assists, and a block shot in 33 minutes. He was 12 of 20 from the floor, 3 of 6 from 3. This is the third straight game in which John Collins set a new career high, which is, I was actually talking to the PR guys for the Hawks after this game, trying to find out if that had ever happened before for a non-rookie, and we've not quite found that out just yet. It's kind of hard to query that, but Collins is fantastic. He was great in this game. I do think that, you know, there's sort of a cap on this. I'm not sure if he can come out and have 35 the next game, but Collins has been playing very, very well over the last three games, and his numbers speak for himself here. He was efficient, you know, very, very efficient with the way he shot the ball in this game. The three threes really unlocked him. I asked Lloyd Pierce about that after the game. He mentioned just the fact that him knocking down shots sort of brings out his whole toolbox. The fact that Collins was able to take some guys off the dribble in this game, even one time where they closed out hard on him as a shooter. He was able to get all the way to the rim after he was able to sort of pump fake and go. A lot of really good signs offensively, especially for John in this game. Defensively, I thought he was okay, which is all he probably needs to be honest with you. But offensively, there was just so much going on for Collins here. 30 points speaks for itself, but he was fantastic. Best player on the floor for the Hawks. I think, you know, Jokic probably had the title of that in an overall sense, but Collins wasn't far behind in this game. He was really, 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 really good, and I thought he was the biggest key for Atlanta in getting this win in this game. Dwayne Dedman had 6 points and 11 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, and 2 blocks. He was very active. Pierce mentioned that after the game as well, talking about the fact that both Dedman and Collins were huge in owning the glass in this game. Atlanta had about an 80% defensive rebound rate, very good there, and those two guys had double-digit rebounds. Dedman's had some rough games in the recent past, but I thought he was pretty good here, honestly. Gave good effort against Jokic. You know, there's certain things that Jokic is going to be able to beat most anybody on, but aside from that, I thought Dedman played pretty well here. Nice to see him play quality minutes for the first time in a while. Trae Young, 3 of 12 from the floor, is ugly, of course. Made only one of two threes, but only took two, which is kind of surprising in a lot of ways. 9 points, 4 assists, 2 rebounds, had 4 turnovers, and that aforementioned block shot that I talked about earlier in the podcast. Trae wasn't great here by any means. Defensively, had some really rough moments in the first half, I thought. Gave better effort after the halftime break. I didn't think he was terrible. There were some, you know, I saw some people tweeting at me during the game about how this is his worst game of his career. I do not agree with that. I think he did not play well necessarily in the overall sense, but in the second half, I thought he was much better. Sort of was more of a catalyst. Let the game come to him a little bit, and I thought he was okay. Wasn't great by any means. Obviously, the numbers speak for themselves in that way, but I thought Young was not terrible, especially after halftime. Kent Bazemore led the team in assists with 8, 3 steals and 2 blocks. It's sort of a throwback Kent Bazemore, also 6 rebounds, sort of stuff the stat sheet across the board. Didn't shoot well, 2 of 10 from the floor, 2 of 8 from 3. That's really the only blemish, though. I thought Kent played well in an overall sense. They had 5 turnovers, which is obviously too many. It's been a problem for him all season long. But, you know, I thought he was okay. Sort of an across-the-board decent game. Defensively, I thought he played very well. He had some time on Murray. He had some time on Malik Beasley, who actually had a nice game in his return to Atlanta. He's actually a St. Francis product. If you're from Atlanta, you would know what that is, high school-wise. But I thought Bazemore was okay. Didn't shoot the ball well, but did a lot of other things well. Slept the stat sheet, and I thought he played decently. Kevin Herter, sort of the same thing. Pretty quiet in a lot of ways, but was plus 13 to lead everyone in the entire game. 8 points, 4 assists, 2 steals, a block shot, and 2 rebounds for Herter. 3 of 8 from the floor, 2 of 6 from 3, which is fine. You know, 14 attempts from Bazemore and Herter is just fine with me. Get him up. Those guys are decent shooters, especially in the case of Bazemore. Obviously, Herter's a better shooter than that. But the fact that he didn't take a ton of shots doesn't really, you know, he led the team in minutes, which is interesting to point out as well. I think I want to see him shoot more. It's definitely a theme that I've been talking about the last couple of podcasts, to be sure. But I thought Herter was pretty good in an overall floor game sense. To the bench in this game, actually, kind of surprisingly, as I looked at the numbers after this game, all 5 guys in the starting lineup played 30-plus minutes, and nobody on the bench even reached 20, which kind of surprised me. It felt like Bembry, especially, who we'll talk about here, first off, played more than that, but just because he made such an impact in this game. Bembry had a career high as well, along with Collins. You know, Collins had 30, which is obviously the headline event, but Bembry's career high was in this game as well. 18 points, 5 assists, 3 block shots, a steal, and 3 rebounds. 6 of 9 from the floor and 3 of 4 from 3, as well as 3 of 5 from the free throw line. Bembry was everywhere when he was playing. I thought he played more than that, and it's probably a credit to him just in the impact that he made. After the game, you know, Lloyd Pierce clearly likes DeAndre Bembry. He mentions him all the time, even when he's unprompted to do so. But in this game, he was actually asked about him. Talked a lot about how he just kind of does everything for them. He's their best defender in a lot of ways on the wing. I think Bazemore, in certain matchups, can be better than Bembry, but Bembry's just a little bit longer, a little bit more athletic, and maybe not more athletic, but just more more active is probably the best way to put that. Just more of a deflections kind of guy, like someone who's more in you. You know, Bazemore's just fundamentally sound, very solid in a lot of ways. Probably a better just vertical athlete than Bembry in some ways, but Bembry's longer and you know, younger, all that fun stuff. Probably a little bit more energetic in some ways, but Bembry just does a lot for the Hawks. They like his energy off the bench. Pierce said that over and over again. The fact that he made shots here was definitely new. Bembry doesn't always make shots, but 3 or 4 from three, it's kind of opens up the rest of his game. His passing was good, 5 assists and only 1 turnover. He was excellent, I thought, in this game. I kind of feel bad in the fact that you know, normally I probably would have led with the way that Bembry played because he was huge in this game. He did a lot of things well, but Collins was just so good that he sort of took the headlines. But Bembry was awesome, and he should be lauded for playing as well as he did in this spot. Vince Carter, 16 minutes, actually had a couple of huge threes. Obviously, the trio of threes in the third quarter were massive for Vince. 13 points, 3 rebounds, an assist, and a turnover. 5 of 10 from the floor, 3 of 7 from 3. First half, I actually thought he played too much and didn't play very well, but the third quarter, you see why the Hawks like him in a lot of spots. His shooting has been great this year in a lot of ways. But, you know, Vince, there's some matchups where he really can't play much, but in this game, he had to play. They don't really have a lot of options, and they went to Vince, and he rewarded them with that huge quarter that was key in the Hawks getting this win. Alex Len struggled, I thought. 6 points, 4 rebounds, four fouls was probably the reason why he didn't play more, but 17 minutes, 3 of 9 from the floor, 0 of 3 from 3. I thought he was better in the second half than he was in the first half, albeit in not too much of a stint. You know, Jokic kind of had his way in the first half with almost everybody, but especially with Len. I didn't think Len was awful, but, you know, didn't just do a ton in this spot. It's actually good to see him play a little bit more than he had in the recent past, but there'll be better days ahead for Alex Len. Tyler Dorsey, 16 minutes, 7 points, 5 rebounds, an assist, and a steal. He was better in the first half. He was one of the rare guys in this game who was actually better before halftime than after. But, you know, 3 of 8 from the floor, 1 of 4 from 3. Second straight game when Dorsey played pretty well, I thought. So, you know, credit to him. I asked him after the game about just kind of his process and staying ready and just kind of, he mentioned just trying to stay fresh. And the fact, I believe he said he had 2 months worth of energy, which is sort of an homage to him not playing for about 2 months, at least in the rotation. So, he's definitely showing that. He's got fresh legs, and the Hawks are using him accordingly. The last two guys that were available in this game that ended up playing, Jalen Adams played 5 minutes in the first half, 0 points, an assist, and a rebound. He was just out there. You know, I kind of speculated before the game that they might want to use him against Monte Morris, and they did that. But honestly, you know, Adams probably isn't an NBA player at this moment. And the Hawks just, you know, rightly brought him up for insurance. They had him available here. They played him a little bit. He didn't kill him. And I think I agree with the decision to kind of go with Bembry as backup point guard after that. But I thought Adams was okay in his one stint. And finally, Justin Anderson, 3 minutes, 2 points, 2 rebounds, and a foul. I thought, and a foul and a +3 for Anderson in his very, very small amount of time. I'm still surprised that he's not playing more. I'm not sure what the deal is there, to be honest with you. But I was, I thought he would be playing rotation minutes starting on Wednesday with Prince out, and then this game when the Hawks were even shorter with the bench, they've just gone with Dorsey, and they pushed the starters' minutes a little bit. So Anderson's been, I guess, just been beat out there. They're not, you know, Dorsey and Anderson are not the same player by any means. Dorsey's definitely more of a pure shooting guard. Anderson's like a hybrid 3-4, but in a lot of ways, they're playing, you know, Dorsey's kind of taking Anderson's minutes, and that's going to happen throughout the course of a season. I will say there could be some evaluation there from front office stuff if you want to see a young guy play him a little bit more. Anderson's on an expiring deal, though, so I think the Hawks have to make a decision on him at some point. He'll be a restricted free agent at the end of the year if the Hawks want him to be. But I think, you know, in all things equal, I think Anderson's probably a better player. But the Hawks are leading Dorsey. He's rewarding them with that playing time. And if you're a Justin Anderson fan, you have to be a little bit worried right now, because if he can't play in this game, I'm not sure when he's going to play. I know Prince is out for a while, but the fact that they were also without Jeremy Lin and Amari Spellman, to name two guys in this game, kind of lends itself to not a ton of playing time moving forward for Anderson, at least as long as Dorsey's playing pretty well and they're using him in that role. Last thing on the pod, no real update on Jeremy Lin or Amari Spellman or Miles Plumlee. There was a couple of things that Pierce said before the game. The biggest note is that Lin was not in the building, actually, on Saturday night. He was actually being treated at a chiropractor. They actually snuck him in for a late appointment. Pierce is kind of sheepish about it a little bit, and the fact that I guess he also mentioned Chelsea Lane. They were trying to get him looked at. They had him, apparently Lim was actually at shoot around and was around earlier in the day, but they fell into an appointment a little bit earlier than they wanted to. I guess they just wanted to get him in as fast as possible, but it ended up being the fact that Lim was seeing a doctor on Saturday night, sort of during the game, so he wasn't in the building. I'm not really sure what that means for him long term. The Hawks are now off until Wednesday on the road. So a bit of a weird schedule here. They obviously had the 2 full days off on Thursday and Friday, plus all of Saturday before the game, before this game, and now they have 3 full days off, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. The Hawks have Sunday completely off, no practice or anything like that, but before they go to Dallas. So yeah, we'll see if Lin and Spellman especially are available. Plumlee, same thing, as well as Alex Poitras, who should be back pretty soon. Those guys were all out in the spot. So, you know, Prince is the one guy we know is going to be out for a while, but the other four all could return, I guess, in theory on Wednesday. And we'll keep you guys updated on my Twitter feed and on this podcast and on PetrieHoops.com if you have more information, or if you want more information, if you want to just follow along and see who's going to be available for that Wednesday game. One programming note before we get out of here, I will have a podcast being recorded actually on Monday morning. Normally I record the night before, but I have a guest hopefully lined up to record actually in the morning on Monday. So that'll be the Monday podcast. It'll probably be going up a little bit later. I mean, I'm sure it will be going up a little bit later, somewhere in the midday. So no fresh pod for your Monday morning commute unless you're listening to this one. But hopefully by Monday afternoon you'll have a new podcast, and then we'll do one more between then and the game on Wednesday on the road. So just keep that in mind, so you won't see a pod first thing Monday morning after this one, but there will be one coming later on in the day on Monday that will sort of whet your appetite a little bit. Hopefully that guest comes through. It'd be fun if it happens, and if not, we'll have something else on the podcast for Tuesday, so please stay tuned for that. Please subscribe to the podcast if you've not done that already. That'd be huge for me moving forward. Subscribe, rate, review, do all that fun stuff. Let me know how you're receiving the podcast. You can also tweet at me at BT Roland or at the podcast at Locked On Hawks on Twitter. I really appreciate all the interaction question. I always like to talk to everybody, anybody that wants to talk about the Hawks. As long as you're respectful, I will answer, and we'll talk about anything you guys want to. So thanks again for listening to the podcast, everybody. If you're an Atlanta United fan, hopefully you're still partying in the streets at this point in time. But everybody enjoy that one safely, hopefully, and we'll see you guys on Monday.